All right, episode 105. We're back, Rob.
105.
Yeah. Live 105.
Live 105.
It's a perfect segue to, I just came back from San Francisco, just on vacation, and Live 105 was the radio station I used to listen to out there.
That was like the alternative
rock. Yeah, that was the rock station.
The rock station.
Where you'd hear new bands. It was like, oh my God, Stone Temple Pilots. Who are those guys?
Yeah.
And so I popped it on in the rental car, and
it's still
a thing. And it's like, but now it's
same
like-
Same format,
but it's like classic rock, Time Machine, like R99X that came back here. Like, yeah. Oh, it's Nirvana,
it's Bush,
and Butthole Surfers, and right. Bush, and like the whole thing, you know. And so we're out there for whatever, you know, a week or so. And my kids are like, Dad, didn't we already hear this song like three times? And I'm like, yeah, I'm singing to Counting Crows right now is what's happening.
So, yeah,
it was pretty funny. So Live 105, yeah, it was good times.
Live 105.
Yeah, and then we used to have 98.5. That was the other thing, KOME. I believe. I can't remember what the call sign for Live 105 was, what their
we
actual
just had
radio
96
thing.
Rock. Here.
Yeah, 96 Rock 96 and 99X, right? I mean, in the 90s. That's the 90s.
That was an alternate. Yeah, that was.
Yeah. I like a little Barnes, Leslie, and Jimmy.
Yeah, works.
It's Atlanta specific, you know? So. Yeah. All right, episode 105. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
What's about to happen?
I thought we would take a little vacation.
Dun-dun-dun.
From some of our usual topics and talk about your vacation.
Okay. All right.
And just talk about. I don't know. Let's see where it takes us.
Sure.
Your travel escapade, what that was like. We'll start there. You took, tell us who you went with. Give us the setup.
Okay. So I took, my middle daughter has not been out to San Francisco yet.
And you're from San Francisco.
And
I should remind the listeners.
Yeah. And I grew up out in San Francisco and then down the peninsula in Palo Alto and stuff. That's where I went to high school. And so everybody else in my family has been out there, but my middle had not been out there yet.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, hey, all right, Dad's taking you out to San Francisco. We're going to visit my dad. We're going to go to a Niner game, you know, see the old stomping grounds, and then do like be a tourist, you know, like, oh, here's the Golden Gate Bridge and like
Fisherman's Wharf.
Yeah, Fisherman's Wharf. Here's some sea lions. Couldn't convince either one of them to go to Alcatraz. Not only that, my son does not have his Halloween costume figured out yet, right? And I'm like, all right, dude, done. We are going to get the orange Alcatraz prisoner, property of Alcatraz, inmate number 117, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah. And I'm like, dude.
That would have been a good one.
I'm like, that's just be a prisoner. Like, that's a fantastic Halloween. You know what I mean? Like, you're a criminal on the run, you know? So, no, could not convince anybody to go to Alcatraz, even though there are a couple days there, unbelievable weather, not a cloud in the sky, and like Indian summer, like burning hot, like sweltering. Oh my Lord.
Yeah.
I may need to run to the store and buy shorts. Like, you know, normally it's like a jeans and sort of windbreaker kind of city. You know what I mean? The fog comes in, it's chilly, overcast.
Yeah.
Whatever,
especially
right?
in the fall.
Yeah. So it was pretty warm. So the point of the mission was to see my dad and then go out and be touristy and stomping grounds. And I saw some friends and things like that as well. Right. But the vacation did start with, I guess, as my wife sent me an article from the AJC, like the worst travel day in the history of Hartsfield ever, you know, and you're laughing because, you know, I am I don't want to say a nervous traveler, but I do like to get there early and I like to not be stressed, right? I don't want to be panicking. Am I going to miss my flight? Right. Well,
prone to slight anxiety around travel. Let's call it that.
The older I get, the more.
But I think everybody is to varying
you
degrees.
Just you never know. It's wild card, man.
It's not like
what it used to be, you know. And it's some days it's a breeze and some days it's a nightmare. And I guess I went on the worst travel day in like 25 years. And we stood in the TSA line
that
for a solid
Murphy's Law
2.5 hours. It was brutal.
Yeah. Well,
brutal.
And you and I talked about. You had even asked
I even
me,
asked
you. You asked me, when would you leave for the
I said,
airport?
Hey, your flight is at 8:15. When would you leave?
Right.
You know, how do you do this? You know? And so I took your number and then added another half hour to it, you know? And we made it by the hair of my chinny chin chin, barely. We were in the last 10 people getting on the plane.
Yeah.
All rows, all call. Every single person around me in the TSA line missed their flight. Everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was like people are rioting. But now, it was a Friday morning. You know what I mean? That is a tough, you know what I mean? Like, it's a Friday morning, I guess, before a holiday weekend.
Before a holiday weekend,
because we've got
People trying to get home, people trying to get out of town. You got every perfect storm.
Yeah, there's a little, you know, but man, I mean, you get there 3 hours early and you still barely make the flight on a domestic flight. And like, ooh, you know. So, yeah, I got on the plane and texted my wife and was like, I've been traumatized. Like, I am.
Now, how are the kids at this point? Are they anxious as well?
You've got a 12 and a 13-year-old standing in line for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, not ideal.
It's not great.
But are they anxious about missing the flight, or are they just tired and bored and
it's more the restless. Latter. It's more I'm the one who's mopping the flop sweat off my off my face. Like, what are we gonna do if we miss the? Like, oh my god! Like, what's about to happen? You know. Right. So they're troopers. They're absolute troopers. My son is a little anxious about flying in general.
Right.
You know, my daughter's like, bring on the bumps, makes it more interesting, and you know, she's like,
it's whatever. Like a ride at Disney World.
Yeah. She's like, whatever. Anybody got any chewing gum? You know, so yeah. I will say she had not been on a flight that long, and so the pressure in the ears was a little, you know what I mean. So we had to, I taught her the plug your nose pop your ears and all that kind of stuff, right? So we get out there, and it's great. I love San Francisco. It's amazing. I don't go out there enough. The time change is a total ass kicker. The older you get, and even the kids, it's like, oh wow, you guys are up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
like there's nothing to do at 3 o'clock in the morning for anyone in any city ever. You know, so it's like, all right, back to bed, everybody. You know, like
watch your iPad.
Yeah. So I will say this to tie this into advertising, because that is what we talk about. You know, I'm not the guy that goes on vacation and take pictures of billboards everywhere I go, but I do take a couple of pictures of billboards from time to time, just of interesting things. And it is a theme we were literally just talking about, and it is a theme we have done on this podcast before. But we are talking San Francisco, Silicon Valley, the home of Apple, the home of apps, the home of development, software, smarty pants people, you know, coders delight. Every other billboard, AI.
Was it really?
Everything is AI. You get off the plane, every damn ad, like in the airport terminal, is let AI power your business. And it's whatever business. It's sell more swag with AI-powered e-commerce platform XYZ. It is improve customer service with our AI chatbots. You know, it is let AI, it is, take any company and literally the headline is let AI power your blank.
Yeah.
And it was like, I don't wanna say disheartening, you know, but it's like, oh man. We've kind of gone from AI as like, wow, this is cool. Look at this. This is awesome. To like, ooh, like, no, I don't know if we have a big backlash to AI, but we are now, I guess, more aware than ever that like, wait a minute. So we've been stealing all of the greatest, you know, like we fed computers like all the novels in the world. And now they're writing their own novels. And we're like, eh, is that a good idea? And all the artists on the planet are like, wait a minute. Now you just type in, I want a Picasso painting like that. And we're like, is that really a good idea? You know, we're starting at that maybe tipping point of like, huh, Terminator 2 didn't seem that long ago. And maybe AI isn't necessarily the greatest thing.
Yeah.
But I will say San Francisco Bay Area, from an advertising perspective, it is just, buy a Tesla, because every third car out there is a Tesla. It's unreal. It's like, oh, there's a blue Tesla behind a blue Tesla next to a blue Tesla in traffic.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's every third. Now, gas prices are like $7 a gallon.
Yeah,
it's like
crazy out there.
Dude, it's ridiculous. Yeah. But I was really, really shocked from an advertising perspective all about
AI.
The AI. And I was like, okay, this little bubble of the world doesn't seem to be leaning out of AI. They are all
I don't think anyone's leaning out of AI right now. I mean, you've got people that are like, whoa. And we were talking just before the podcast. There was an interview, I think it was a week ago on 60 Minutes. Really interesting, and it was about and it was the sort of godfather of AI, the guy who's credited for sort of developing it. And it was a blanket warning, really, to society, like, hey, you know, the robots are going to be smarter than us very soon. We are going to be the second most intelligent species on the planet.
Yeah,
and like it's going to happen.
Well, what's interesting,
it was really, really scary.
You know, we've joked about this in the past. Like, we are in a certain section of or segment of our business is definitely the power of persuasion. I mean, that's what advertising is.
Right.
Is, hey, I'm introducing something new, and you don't know that you need this, and let me convince you of the ways of why you need this. You know, or how this can enrich your life, or make your life better or easier, whatever the case may be. That's what advertising is—the power of persuasion, right? And yeah, we're gonna have robots pretty much persuading us now. Convincing us that we are making a decision on our own when in fact we're probably not, you know? It's like magic. It's like, oh, here, you know, you fan out the deck and you think you're picking the card that you want, but
the magician wants you to pick.
Is pushing you towards that decision, right?
Yep.
which is what, I mean, spoiler alert for How Magic Works, but you know, that's a lot of how magic works, is you think you're making the decision, but you're not, you know, it's kind of, you're being led to that, right?
Yeah.
So advertising wise, yeah, really, really fascinating that everything was AI related. I couldn't believe it. And not only that, but I said, hey, power your business with AI. There are also apps and pieces of software out there that they're advertising all over the place on, hey, we've developed the AI to determine if it's AI or not. Right.
So that's so meta.
Yeah. So there's a company out there, Hive, and it was the billboard is a picture of two dogs.
Yeah.
And it's, hey, our app can tell you if that picture is real or not, if that's an authentic picture or if that's an AI generated image. Right. And it's like, whoa. Now,
do we believe the AI? That's AI?
That's what I was going to say. Like,
how do we know?
Well, the irony is, well, that's AI. Right. I mean, so it was, you know, it's funny. The Bay Area is kind of like hey, F New York, F the East Coast. Like, they're so doing their own thing and living their best life. And we're walking up in the mountains and the hills and, you know, breathing clean California air and eating vegetables, you know, like, I mean, it's a beautiful part of the world, you know, but it's really, really funny how sometimes it's very disassociated. I think, this is my editorial comment, maybe on what's happening with the rest of everything, if that makes sense, right? But I do think, you know, hey, electric cars are good. I mean, it's good to cut down carbon emissions. I mean, that's a good thing, you know?
That's a good thing,
a lot of that out there. Kirby said he saw a Cybertruck.
Oh, really?
I didn't see it, though. I was busy driving. So he's like, ah, Cybertruck. And I was like, take a picture.
Did it have a broken window?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think so. But I think they're starting to roll out. And there's a big Tesla headquarters or something going on out on Page Mill Road. So, I thought that was kind of interesting. So, the rest.
You know where there's no AI?
Where?
Muir Woods.
Yes.
Did you go?
Of course.
Have to.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, Saturday morning, we got up. We're on East Coast time. So, we got up super early. We're banging on the Starbucks window. Open. Give me my coffee. Give me my muffins. Right. And then, we did a day of drove across the Bay, the Bay Bridge, drove across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah. Sausalito and
all that. Did a bunch of pictures, you know, drove by Sausalito, didn't go in, should have, because we have a friend that lives in Sausalito.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. And, but I'm also like with a 12 and a 13 year old, you know what I mean? It's like,
it's not their scene.
A lot of the stuff is like, even when you, like, we went to Japantown or you go to different places, it's like, oh, well, it's all eateries and like
little boutiques and
bars and boutiques and cool things like that.
It's not a 12, 13.
It's not a 13 year old's kind of
Mount Tam. Did you go up Mount Tam and do that?
We did. We did because, we did the Golden Gate Bridge. We went to Muir Woods, and we were in the first ticket group of Muir Woods, 8 o'clock in the morning, which was great. So super calm. Mm-hmm. You know, the sun is coming up through the redwoods. It's amazing. Yeah. Here's my trick forever. I haven't even showed you any pictures, but here's the trick. Okay. For those going to Muir Woods, we should annotate this podcast with it. Do panoramic photos, but do them sideways. Hmm. Right. So it's normally panoramic, you go left to right and you follow the arrow on your iPhone.
Turn it landscape
and then go bottom to top.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you can go all the way up and like
the tree looks
over your head and what like behind you, you know? Yeah. And man, you get some killer photo. Because you can't take a picture of a redwood. I mean, those things are so freaking tall. It's unbelievable. Right. So Ben got a super duper kick out of that. It was awesome. I think at the end of the trip, she actually said that was her favorite spot of the whole thing.
What's funny is up at Mount Tam, I just remember the pine cones you see up there.
They're big.
They're like the size of footballs.
Yeah. They're huge. They're huge.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It's, the flower. Yeah. She was freaking out about the leaves. Like there were, you know, it's cause it's fall, you know, leaves are falling. And you get leaves that are falling off a tree.
The size of Frisbees.
Yeah. So she's like, what in the world? Like,
it is, the scale of it when you see it the first time, the redwoods and everything else, is pretty magnificent.
Yeah, the geography is fantastic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it's cool. You got the ocean and you got the mountains coming right out of the thing, you know. Then we went up north, a little bit more north, to Stinson Beach. I love Stinson Beach. It's a fun little spot, fun little beach town, things like that. So, and everybody's living their best life. It's like super warm and playing beach volleyball.
I can't believe it was that warm.
Yeah, it was crazy warm. It was crazy warm.
Global warming.
I've never been to San Francisco and been overdressed. We're like, oh my God,
you're always
hot.
Chilly.
Yeah. You're always like, oh, the fog.
The breeze. It's chilly. Ooh, it's coming off the water.
Oh, it's only 63 degrees here?
Yeah.
Like, you know, that type of thing, right? You go down the peninsula or you go up north, like to Walnut Creek. It's like 90 degrees. You know, I mean, it's hot, you know, in the valley and things like that, right? So yeah, did a lot of nature, did a lot of the city, did a lot of, you know, Chinatown, did a lot of the touristy stuff, you know, drove around, went to the mission.
Is all the touristy stuff still the same? I mean, like, does Fisherman's Wharf ever really evolve at all?
No. I mean, the shops change, but they're still the same.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Just a different sign outside.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and it's like, do you need a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum at Fisherman's Wharf?
You know what
I mean?
Like,
I don't know, you know? And it's like, oh, there's an Applebee's. Okay, that's weird. That's never
been. That doesn't
feel
authentic.
So there's a lot of like that kind of stuff that's sort of thinned out. You know what I mean? Like the, or I should say spread out. Like some of the quirky little places are still there, you know, but some of them have gone and been replaced by, you know, the Hall of Mirrors, Funhouse Room, or you know what I mean? Or like Escape Room.
It feels
like
very Myrtle Beach.
Is yeah, what exactly. Feels, yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's okay. I mean, it's, yeah, yeah. They're, you know, and it, there's the like, oh yeah, we're at Pier 39 and you got the barking sea lions and
everywhere.
Whatnot. And then you got, oh, you're like the juggling unicycle performer guy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who's working for like tips,
I love
or
that
whatever,
stuff.
You know? So like, yeah, hey, we watch him do his thing and he tells a bunch of corny jokes and I'm like, all right, kids, here, go give him some cash and like whatever, you know, yeah. I mean, that type of thing, right? Get a high five from the guy. And hey, anybody want any fudge? Like, you know, you want some sweets? How about some sweets? Oh, look, there's a sweet shop next to his sweet shop next to the fudge place. You know, it's like, no one needs that.
No.
You know, that type of thing, right? And the same cheesy, you know, Alcatraz-y sort of
swag
on everything and whatever the case, right? So, but it's hey, you got to do it. It's kind of a rite of passage.
Oh, I love it. You know? I love it.
And they've got the battleship. They got all the other stuff. You know, there's a whole bunch of stuff there, right? So
now was because Kirby's been out there before.
Kirby's been out there before. Yeah.
Now was he like?
Oh, I've already seen this.
I've already seen this. Did you do a little Mr. Know-It-All?
There was a little.
Wait till you see this.
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. Not too much.
Not too much. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not too much. There, yeah, just a little bit of. I've already seen this. You know what I mean? Like, hey, dude, like, put your phone down, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, look up, and I've already seen this. It's like, well, yeah, but still, it's cool. You know, you don't get to see this every day, that type of thing, right? So. So did that, then went down the peninsula and saw my dad for a little bit, which is great. I had a couple days with my dad.
How's Palo Alto?
I don't know. Do you want the real answer or the podcast answer?
I want the real answer.
The real answer is it totally sucks.
Oh.
It totally sucks. Here's why. Here's why I have that opinion. It's just not the quirky, cool town that that I grew up in the 80s.
You're right.
It was a small little suburb that was a nothing burger. That was a great place to grow up. And it was quirky and weird in its own way because it's kind of tied at the hip to Stanford University, right? Like Berkeley is to Cal, you know, Stanford is to, or Palo Alto is to Stanford University, right?
Okay.
So it was, you know, you still had a bunch of hippies and
quirky professors.
Yeah. And you had cool shops and quirky, weird little independent, you know what I mean? And so now, you know, everything, there's just so much money and
is
so
it just
much
homogenized
tech that, you know, the funness of it is just kind of gone. I think, you know, it's just, it's almost too much, you know?
Yeah.
So it sucks in that respect in terms of like, we did a podcast earlier about your Italian vacation and it was like, oh my God, here's this stuff that thousands of years old,
right?
And the history of being the here and that, you know? I mean, the history of California, you know what I mean? Like everything, you just tear everything down and build something new.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no like, oh, this has been here. You know, the history of California, I guess maybe kind of starts in the, I mean, you have the gold rush, obviously, and the 49ers and that whole thing, right? But, oh, yeah, the great earthquake, 1906, it burned the city down and we rebuilt it. And now it's just, you kind of just tear things down and rebuild things, right?
Yeah.
There's no building on legacy of things like that out there, you know? The history is really more in the nature and that type of thing.
Yeah,
right?
That makes
versus
sense.
Like, oh wow, there's an IKEA here now. Okay, like, well, okay, wow, yeah, you know, like, yeah. So it was a little bit of like, oh hey kids, here's where Grandpa Ted had his studio for 45 years, and now it's an optometrist place.
Right,
you know what I mean? Like, it's you know, so they're like, okay, yeah, cool, great, you know, yeah. It was interesting having my daughter though just sort of repeatedly say, can't believe you grew up out here. This is so weird. It's weird to think of you living somewhere else, you know, but that's through the prism of a 13-year-old.
It's always weird when you go back to where you grew up and the nostalgia has faded because of the change in
everything
landscape
changed.
And building. Yeah. It's not all of a sudden you're like, oh, Yeah, where's the old shop and where's the old thing and where's the old...
Well, everywhere you go, it's it used to be this, but it's not that anymore.
Yeah.
But, I mean, fill in the blank of whatever, you know. Now, there are a few trusty dusties that are still there. I mean, there's still some great traditional restaurants. There's still some fun places to go and things like that. So I shouldn't be super negative on whatever, you know. But I also like, hey, I grew up there and then I came here and I built my life here, you know.
Yeah.
So Atlanta's my home. I mean, I love Atlanta. I'm probably never leaving. You know, I do miss a little bit of this, that, and whatever out there. But, hey, man, everything I love and all the good stuff is out here. You know, for me at least, you know. So, but it is a beautiful part of the world. It is an interesting place to go from an emerging tech perspective and design and advertising and sort of what's going on in the world. I mean, I guess the final thing to sort of talk about in terms of like the insanity of technology is you can't go 5 minutes, and that might even be too long, without seeing an autonomous self-driving car.
Oh, really?
I mean, there are self-driving cars
everywhere.
Everywhere.
Really? And you don't see that here at all.
You never see that here. No. So, I mean, it's Waymo, W-A-Y-M-O. It's one of the big companies out there. Freewheel. There's a whole bunch of them, right? And it's a crazy looking sedan hatchback car with like spinning siren things on. I mean, like not like making noise, whatever, like spinning things. There's sensors on all four corners and blah, 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 like doing its thing. And every once in a while, you'll see someone in the back seat, right? And those are people that signed up for pilot programs for it to basically be an Uber, for it to drive you places, right?
I don't know that I want to be in the pilot program for the self-driving car.
Yeah, so, you know, and I'm telling you, man, I mean, I'm driving, like, one unique thing about San Francisco, I think, for people that grew up there or natives or people that are visiting there is... I guess you could say it's intimidating to drive in there, but like I feel very comfortable driving around the city of San Francisco, you know, and especially when you got Google Maps and you got rental, you know, like, it's a non-issue.
Yeah, but
like,
I can see how it would be intimidating.
But,
I mean, it's
but unlike New York, like, dude, I'm not driving in New York. Are you kidding me?
No,
like,
no.
Like San Francisco, you can be on one side of San Francisco and you can drive and you can park on the street, you know, like you can find a parking garage and park. I mean, it is not, you're not. You can do it. Like for people that just visit there, you can do it, right? So, I mean, I did a lot of driving around San Francisco and it's, oh, we're driving over here. We're driving over there. We're driving, you know, I mean, and we did Uber from time to time, you know, but it's, oh, we're going out to dinner. Let's go drive over there. We drive around the block and you find a place to park on the street and then you go and you find your ramen, like whatever. Right. So you see, I'm behind a car that has no one in it.
That's so weird to me.
You know, and then it's, oh, you know, It's because I looked it up. I looked up like, why are we doing this? Like, why does this need to be a thing? Right. And I don't want to bastardize the mission statement of any of these companies, but it's basically intelligence gathering to create a safer driving environment for humans moving forward. Right. So it's, hey, we're going to teach, you know, the cars how to drive themselves and how to interact with imperfect humans, right, to minimize collisions and things like that, right? So, but case in point is I'm behind an autonomous driving car and a city bus just stops right in the middle of the damn road, whatever like that. Car just slows down, puts on its blinker, moves around the car. You know what I mean? Like it's trying to go right, but it's completely obstructed. Yeah. And this car, just like a human, figured out a way to navigate all the way around safely and then make its turn.
Well, it's totally insane. I would think the simplest, a simple example would be I'm coming to a red light.
Yeah.
Right now it's up to the driver whether or not they're going to go on yellow or not go on yellow.
Yeah, for sure.
If it's a programmed thing with a car, it's, oh no.
It's going to make the safe
choice. It's going to know exactly when to stop and when to go, eliminating human error. So, I can see that. It doesn't make it any less terrifying, but I can see that.
Now, we have hands-free driving, and we have lane assist in a lot of cars all over the United States, right?
Yeah.
So it knows the dashes and the yellow line and the white line, right? And it's like, oh, if it's that like, oh, I'm falling asleep in the
drifting.
And the steering wheel shakes and vibrates and whatever like that, right? Well, I mean, the streets of San Francisco
are a mess.
They're just painted lines going everywhere. There are the cable car rail tracks. I mean, there's stuff everywhere, right? So, I mean, it can't learn by what lane it's in or what's, you know, like, I mean, there are the taxi only lanes that are painted all red. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. The roads are totally insane.
How do it know?
Yeah. How do it know? I have no idea. You know, Waymo knows. It knows, right?
Did you ride on a cable car?
We did not do a cable car. Oh. No, okay. We didn't do a cable car. But I saw a couple of cable cars. We didn't do Lombard Street. There's a lot of stuff we didn't do. I mean, there's a ton of stuff still left to be
done. It's hard to knock it out all in one trip.
But, you know, hey, that's what the next trip is for.
Yeah.
And also, too, you know, I had to kind of go with what they wanted to do and things like that, you know? So, but it was super fun, man. It was super fun. Yep. It's a great place. It's a super awesome place. Got to see the Niners absolutely obliterate.
Yeah, Dallas, right? Yeah. That's fun. What was the score? It's like 49 to something?
42 to 10. 42 to 10. Yeah. And hey, we pulled all of our starters in the, you know, at the beginning of the fourth quarter. So, yeah. I mean, that was only three quarters of football.
Yeah.
You know? Still a long season to go, but I feel pretty good about it. It's pretty exciting. So.
And then just to wrap it up, it sounds like it was smooth flying on the way home.
Smooth flying on the way home. Yes.
Easy experience.
Yes. I'm appreciative of the captain that's, you know, it's bing, you know, hey folks, thanks for flying. You know, want to let you know, I'm turning the seatbelt light on. We're expecting some rough air up ahead and, and, you know, give me a little bit of warning of what's happening. Right. And then come to find out, you know what?
Nothing. It was a nothing burger.
There's no, there was a,
yeah,
and we're done. Here.
Well, you'd rather that certainly than
Well, the funniest part, I guess, was not that anyone cares about this, but I mean, I'm like, oh, there's a baby in the gate. Oh, there's another. I mean, dude, there were 20 kids under the age of two.
Infants.
I mean, there were two babies across from us. I mean, there were two babies down. I mean, there were babies everywhere. Completely full flight. I mean, the full, like, hey, if anybody doesn't want to take this flight, we'll give you vouchers. There's no overhead compartment room anyway. You know, hey guys, we need everyone to sit down so the plane can leave. You know, like total late departure, you know, which is not unique for San Francisco. So it was but you know, you fly away from the sun and you lose the whole day flying, you know, you leave first thing
in the morning. It's a long travel day.
Yeah.
It's a long travel day.
But yeah, no, it was, hey, shout out to Delta that it did a great job. You know, TSA, that's a whole nother ball of wax, but, flying into Atlanta on Delta is generally speaking a pretty good experience, you know?
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Well, that's successful vacay.
Yeah. That's a half hour of me talking about, San Francisco and AI and self-driving car. I mean, maybe we'll get some pilot program self-driving cars here in Atlanta. I don't know how we feel about it.
Self-flying planes. We need to call them drones.
Yeah. I don't know that I wouldn't get on one of those things.
No.
God, no. Even though we know they have autopilot and all sorts of different things. You know, like,
I need a guy up there.
I need two people up there as well.
Yeah.
In case something happens to number one, you know? So. Yeah. All right. Well, that being said, where can everybody find us, Rob?
You can find us online at mocktheagency.com or on all the socials at mocktheagency.
Cool.
And we will talk to you next episode.
All right. Thanks, everybody.